The sermon title for today, this is what the Lord wanted me to speak to you. Unworthy will be made worthy. Whoever is unworthy will be made worthy by the Lord. Dear friends, couple of things happen in our life constantly. This keeps happening in our life continuously. Two things. One is, people constantly keep telling us that we are not worthy to do something. Or probably we are not prepared to do it. Or we don't have the talent to do it. Or probably that's not our calling. Or we are not fit for it. Probably I should use that word. People keep telling that you are not fit for it. Or probably you are not made for it. Be it your friends, your relatives, or your colleagues. They always keep telling us, this is okay for him, but not for you. That's one. Secondly, we keep telling ourselves, we keep giving this, oh, I am not good at this. Oh, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this. Probably I'm a little old for this, or I'm a little too young for this. So I cannot do it. I am not worthy of this. God cannot use me in this particular area. So I am not qualified. Dear friends, many times we think we have to reach this benchmark for God to use us or to satisfy God. But if you read the Bible, David was a sinner. But then God calls him the man after my own heart. Abraham, Moses a murderer. But then still God used him. So when we read the Bible, God constantly or continuously uses all the unqualified people and he qualifies them. So dear friends, if you're sitting here watching this sermon with your family or with your friends or at home, if you're sitting, just turn to somebody and say, don't worry, God will use you. No matter whether it's going to be worldly or spiritually or for the church, in whatever capacity you think you can't be used, God will use you and he will make you worthy. Because our righteousness comes from God. But do we know what we do? We always keep giving this excuse saying, I am not qualified for it. And by the time, days are over. One day a boss called a branch manager. Okay, it was a marketing and sales company, a financial institution. The boss called the branch manager and asked him, what's happening to all the saints? What's been happening to all the loans? Have you been selling enough loans? Have you reached the target? This guy said, no boss, I was trying to sell loans. You know, I started off very well. But in between, you know what? The other manager called up and said, right now, instead of selling personal loans, we need to sell car loans. So he asked him, okay, so how many car loans have you sold? No boss, you know what? Before I started selling car loans was a little new to me. Before I started selling car loans, I started off well. But then, you know what? This pandemic happened. And then what? No, people said, start selling insurance. Sell our company's product insurance. Because right now people are getting sick. They will buy insurance. Oh, so have you sold enough insurance policies? He said, no boss. By the time I started selling insurance policies, no, the company, another manager called up and said, oh, a lot of people are getting sick. If we sell insurance policies now, they will actually go and claim the policies and we might end up losing money. So what did you do? He said, better not to sell anything right now. Make sure that all the documents of the existing policy holders are clean and correct. So did you follow up and get all the details? He said, yes, boss, while I started to do it, by the time this quarter got over, so I couldn't reach my targets. So dear children of God, by the time we realize something and we start doing something, we would have lost a lot of time in our lives. By the time we come to a conclusion, by the time we understand God's grace, we would have lost a lot of time in our lives. So dear friends, today, if you are there, alive today, God has got a purpose and he wants to use you. And what matters is grace and not works. Let's read what Paul writes. Paul, the murderer, Paul, the destroyer. Paul, who was called Saul from Tarsus, he was a destroyer, persecutor. He was persecuting church. He was just dragging people out of homes and he was killing them. He went into the church and he was destroying churches. But then God called this murderer, destroyer, unworthy person to be used. And today most of the rules or the principles which we follow in church is all written by Paul. If you can turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the last letter of Paul, chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel, but by the power of God. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works that no one may boast. Paul keeps saying this again and again. We've been saved, we've been made holy, we've been called, we've been qualified, all because of the grace of God and nothing else, dear friends. Nothing else. So he says, not by your works, so that you can boast. So tomorrow we cannot say that only because of my righteousness, only because I was qualified. No. Even when we are qualified, not unqualified, even when we are not worthy, even when we don't have the talent, even when you think you don't have the calling, he's going to use you. Let's look at Elijah from the Bible. Many times people think Elijah is a big conqueror. Oh, he is a prophet from birth. No. The Israelite king Omri gets his son Ahab married to Jezebel, who's daughter of the king of Tyre and Sidon. And no, what happens? Jezebel comes into Israel and she starts pursuing Baal worship. And she makes sure all the people are following her culture. So they start to worship Baal. A lot of Baal temples are being structured. And then a lot of Baal prophets come. So the entire Israelite has been distracted. And they started worshiping Baal. And suddenly God brings this guy called Elijah. If you read 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord says, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Now, Elijah from Tishbite, no introduction. Not the Bible does not talk about him as a warrior, as a prophet, or a big guy with some qualification, son of so and so who's qualified to do all. No. Some guy suddenly pops out and God says, go talk to the king. And he goes and wants the king. No introduction, dear friends of God. Now, the first point I want you to remember is, everyone who worked for God were not qualified when God chose them. I want to repeat again. Everyone who worked for God, or everyone who did mighty things for God, were not qualified when God chose them. When Elijah was chosen for God, he was not qualified. But then God still chose him. If you go on to read chapter 7, Elijah has been fed by the ravens. Elijah goes to a widow. A miracle happens. Her house becomes rich. Her son dies. Elijah brings him back to life. Elijah has been providing. Elijah has been doing miracles. Fantastic man. But with no qualification. Where did he come from? Nothing. Then when we go on to read, if you read 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 40, Elijah challenges all the prophets of Baal. He says, come on, let's have a challenge. You build an altar, I build an altar. You give a sacrifice, I'll also give a sacrifice. We'll see whose altar is being consumed. You know what? Elijah goes on to pour water on his altar. And then he says, come on, let's have a competition. The prophets of Baal call upon their God from morning till night. Nothing happens. Then this guy calls upon the Lord and a fire comes, takes away all the sacrifice on the altar. And this guy says in verse 40, I want you guys to read it. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. They seized them and Elijah had brought them down to Kishon Valley and slaughtered them. 450 prophets, single guy. Now imagine, was Elijah ever trained on slaughtering people? Was Elijah a muscular man? Was Elijah a big warrior to go and conquer something, destroy all the prophets of Baal? No! But then God called him and then he qualified them. I want you to read one more verse, verse 44. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose. A heavy rain started falling. Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah and tucking his cloak in his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. When Elijah was introduced, does the Bible say he was a marathon runner? He was a sprinter. He ran faster than Usain Bolt. Because if you look at this, Ahab started ahead of Elijah and he rode in a chariot. This guy started late, but still he overtook him. Now I want to tell you, for people who think that you are left behind in life, for people who are thinking, oh, everybody is gone ahead in life. Oh, I am sitting back. My life, my family, years have passed. I'm at the back. I want to tell you, the hand of the Lord, the power of the Spirit can come upon you and you can overtake chariots. Hallelujah. If you believe it, say an hallelujah. Oh, you can say, probably I'm not a spitter, I'm not a runner. Elijah didn't say all of that. God said, go. He started running and he ran, he outran all the horses. Dear friends, so don't be sitting there and giving this lame reason. I am not qualified. I don't have the talent. Second, God never quits on you, even when you are willing to quit. Or even if you say that I've quit, it's the end. God will never quit on you. 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 1. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, may the gods deal with me, be it more so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I had enough, Lord. He said, take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Elijah wants to give up. He said, that's all. Take my life. Take my life. Let me end this life. I am saying quit. It's over. Tap down. Fight's over. Give up. He's given up. The guy who killed 450 prophets with none of his strength, the guy who overtook the chariot with none of his strength, with none of his qualification, now he comes and says, somebody is challenging him to kill, to be killed, and he says, I quit. Dear friends, even if you want to quit today, oh, my marriage is not working, let me quit. Oh, this job is not working, let me quit. Ministry is not working, let me quit. I've seen so many people who come to do the work of God, who volunteer to do God's work, and then they say, oh, it's not working, let me quit. Oh, it's not working in this church, or it's not working in this particular ministry. It's not working in this particular location. Oh, my health is not cooperating. Let me quit. No, God will not leave you. Probably if you do this to your boss, if you go and say, boss, I'm resigning, let me quit. Probably he will let you go. But then you know what this boss does? I want you to read it from verse 5. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, there was by his head some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days, 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went in a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Then Elijah replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with their stone. I am the only one left now. They are trying to kill me too. Dear friends, see, this guy said, I'm already quit. The Lord did not tell his angel, now come on, let's give up on Elijah. Let's leave this fool again. He's already quit. He's given up. No. He said, come on, get up, eat, sleep. Get up, eat, then travel. You have a long way to go. This is our Lord. Even when you're quitting right now, probably he's telling you, take some rest right now. Eat and sleep. Because you have a big journey ahead. You have a big journey. Probably there are many people like Elijah who are saying, Lord, I want to quit. Oh, I want to end my life. Let me quit. I cannot take it anymore. I've come to the end. I want to quit. Many have said this word, even including me. We've said, Lord, I want to die. Dear children of God, if the Lord wants you to die, right now we would have all been dead. We don't have to tell him, Lord, I want to die. He will tell us, now it's time for you to get out. But then the Lord has given us life. You know why? Because there's a long journey for us and he wants us to fulfill our calling. So don't ever say, I want to quit. There's a long journey on your marriage, on your children, on your education, your career, your ministry. There's a long journey. He says, come on, take rest. You have to go. Then after that, Elijah goes into a cave. He says, Lord, everybody is gone except me. I'm the only one. But then Lord asks him a question. What are you doing here? You are not supposed to be here. You are supposed to be doing something else. What are you doing? You're sitting there on the couch. What are you doing? Are you waiting for others to come up and help you? Are you waiting for others to do God's work? What are you doing just sitting on the couch? The Lord's saying, it's high time to get up. You don't quit because I've not quit on you. The Lord does not quit even when we want to quit. Thirdly, the Lord will continue to use you regardless of your continuous failures. He will continue to use you. If you read the same chapter, verse 4, Elijah was given a servant, as he was responsible for a servant. When he ran away, he left his servant and he ran away. Many times we do that. We leave our responsibilities and run away. But God still did not leave him. Now, when he's in the cave, now after the sound and the thunder and the fire, God speaks to him in a still voice. Listen to what God is telling him. Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael. and Elisha will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths not kissed him. One was to see here, the Lord has given him a mandate. He says, go back to where you came from. The Lord is saying, go back to the church, go back to your ministry, go back to your family, go back to the career where you came from. And he says, I've got three things to do. He says, Elisha, anoint Hazael. Then anoint Jehu, second thing. Thirdly, anoint Elisha in your place. But you know what Elijah did? He didn't do the first two things. He didn't do it, disobeyed. He straight went to Elisha and he anointed Elijah. I'll read it. So Elijah went from there, found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with a 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, threw his cloak around him and left. That's all. He never anointed Hazael. He never anointed Jehu. Jehu later was anointed by Elisha. But the Lord told him, go anoint Hazael over Aram and anoint Jehu over Israel. Then go anoint Elisha in your place. But then my person, Elijah, didn't do first two things. Did the last thing first. Many times we do the same thing, you know. What we are supposed to do in the last, we do it in the beginning. Sometimes when we go to hotels, there are a few people who come along with me. When they see the desserts, instead of having the appetizer, they start having the dessert first. And then after having the dessert, they go on to the appetizer and then. There are a few people who do this. Do the last first. Elijah did the same thing constantly. Ran away when he should have stood. Left his servant when he should have held on to the servant. Then go anoint Hazael. No, he anointed Elijah. Elisha, last thing first. But then the Lord continued to use him. So I want to tell you, dear friends, no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times we fall down, and no, we throw our hands in the air and give up. Oh my God, I don't want to fall down one more time. I don't want to be disappointed one more time. And no, the Lord is not going to use me. No, the Lord continues to use you amidst your continuous failures. Everybody keeps failing. So don't ever give up on that. The first point, everyone who worked for the Lord were unqualified when He chose him. Second, He does not quit on you even when you want to quit. Third, the Lord continues to use us amidst our failures. Dear friends, there were only two people who did not die in the Bible, and Elijah was one of them. I want to read this verse. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. As they were walking along, now Elijah and Elisha are walking along. As they are walking along, talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. Elijah went up to a heaven in whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Elisha saw him no more. They took hold of his garment and tore in two. There were only two people. Elijah was one of them. God, he was given a great farewell. Chariots of fire, horses of fire, they came and they took him off. Amidst constantly failing to do God wanted him. Yes, he did a few things. He did a lot of things. But then there was the other side where Elijah kept failing. God did not leave him alone. He was not qualified, but the Lord used him. Dear friends, I want to tell you, my brothers, my sisters, even though you are not worthy, He will make you worthy. So don't be sitting there on your couch or thinking, when can I do or what can I do? There are a lot of people who tell me, Pastor, let me pray more and do God's work. Let me know God more, learn the Bible more. Let me go to a Bible college and then come back. No. If somebody in your office calls up and gives you a promotion, a job which you're unworthy of, what will you say? Oh, even though I don't know the job, even though I'm not worthy of this promotion and this particular incentive, I will do it. I will take it up. Many a times we do this. Even the lives we live, the houses we live in, the families we have, the calling which we are not worthy of it, but still we've accepted it. It's all good. Dear friends, today, even as I'm standing in front of you and I'm preaching, when the Lord called me, this was my biggest reason I gave him. Lord, I cannot, I'm not worthy. When the Lord called me, I've never been to a Bible college. My father was a Hindu. Nobody in my family has ever done ministry. I don't know any music. When the Lord called me, I said, okay, Lord, I will come. But then I don't know all of this. He said, come. Then the Lord brought me back from Australia to India. My biggest problem of coming back to India, Chennai, was everybody knows my past. What will they think? They'll think I'm unworthy. Nobody will come to me for prayer. But then the Lord said, come back. In 10 years' time, the Lord has blessed our ministry. By God's grace, our songs are being sung across the world. Till date, I don't have talent. Unworthy, but the Lord picked me. Dear friends, today I want to encourage you. If you feel unworthy, unqualified, if you feel that you don't have talent, I want to tell you, the Lord can use you more than how He used Elijah. If you believe it, just close your eyes. Lift your hands with me. Father, we lift our hands right now and we commit ourselves. The people in this world might call us unworthy. Probably we ourselves can think low about us. And probably the devil is trying to drive a guilt into us, telling us that we are not fit to do. But Lord, you make us worthy. Your grace, Lord. It's not about our qualification, our education, the background. But Lord, it's only your grace which makes us worthy to run for you. Father, we pray right now, you will help us run more than what Elijah ran for you, Lord. More than what all the people in the, you know, all the great men in the Bible have done for you. Help us to do more for you, Lord. Help us not to just sit in this comfortable life and, Lord, give reasons, but help us to rise up right now, because you will make us worthy and run for you, Lord. I want to pray for everybody who's watching right now, for them and their children, Lord, that you will make us worthy, make them worthy. Continue to use us amidst all our constant failures, Lord, so that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.